That's hymn number 108 before we sing. Boy, this song just reminds me of something. Remember, there was a man named Paul and Silas who were put in prison. And as they were in prison, suffering for the Lord and wrongly accused and beaten and thrown into lower parts of the prison, remember they sang in the prison? And most times when people sing, they expect you that you're happy or things are going well. But the truth of this song is, I sing through the shade and the sunshine. I'll trust him whatever befall. I sing for I cannot be silent. My Father planned it all. They believed that the Father planned their time in prison there. And it was such a powerful message to the jailer. Remember what happened? What must I do to be saved? What a testimony of a singing saint in a time of tribulation. Let's stand as we sing. 108, My Father Planned It All. What though the way be lonely and dark the shadows fall, I know where it leadeth, my Father planned it all. I sing through the shade and the sunshine, I trust him whatever befall. I sing for I cannot be silent, my Father planned it all. There may be sunshine tomorrow, shadows may break and flee. 'Twill be the way he chooses, the Father's plan for me. I sing through the shade and the sunshine, I trust him whatever befall. I sing for I cannot be silent, my Father planned it all. He guides my faltering footsteps along the weary way, for well he knows a pathway will lead to endless day. I sing through the shade and the sunshine, I trust him whatever befall. I sing for I cannot be silent, my Father planned it all. On the last, a day of light and gladness, on which no shade will fall. This at last awaits me, my Father planned it all. I sing through the shade and the sunshine, I trust him whatever befall. I sing for I cannot be silent, my Father planned it all.
Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Lord, we love you. We thank you that as we just sang that my Father planned it all. Lord, we know that you're the creator, you're the sustainer, there is no other gods. Lord, we know that you're in ultimate control. You are sovereign and almighty, and we're grateful for that. May we rest in your power and your majesty. May we sing, Lord, even in the sunshine and the shade and even during the storms. May we trust you, Lord. We do want to lift up, obviously, our church family, the Van Sickles, certainly, Lord. Brittany here with some wisdom teeth being taken out on Friday, Lord. Dave, his family, and some of the arrangements there with his mother's passing, Lord. And Lord, we certainly pray the gospel would be shared, if not during the service, certainly through Dave and others that know Christ and Sue, and use them, Lord, in a great way during all of that. Encourage and comfort them, we pray. Thank you, Lord, again for your great faithfulness in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you. We're going to take our songbook and turn hymn number 60, 60, if you will, this time. We're going to sing, How Majestic Is Thy Name. We'll remain seated as we sing hymn number 60.
When I consider the work of thy hand, the sun, moon, and stars above, what is man that thou thinkest of him who is so unworthy of thy love? O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name.
Of August is testimony time in the evening service. Just a second, we'll have back-to-back two ladies share some testimonies, how they came to know the Lord as their Savior. And I believe, do we have Miss Joan here? Is she here or not? Oh, this is okay. I'm looking back there. I'm like, uh-oh. All right, so Miss Jackie, the J is Jackie and Joan. I don't know if they cast lots. I'm guessing Jackie's going first because she's up here. All right, but I'm thrilled to have them be able to do that, and we appreciate each one of you that have shared in the past and perhaps in the future. And I would say, if you're asking me, Pastor, outside of preaching and teaching a church, what are some things that can really help you grow in the Lord? For me, I know, and I'm not the first one to have come up with this, Christian biographies. I would really encourage you to read as many Christian biographies of great men and women in the past as possible, and testimonies of God's people. And I can remember, I think one of the highlights that we, and I wasn't the first to do this, it's just something we did, but we used to do a testimony month every year in youth group when I was youth pastor, and I'd get people in the church come up on a Wednesday night, they'd just come up, share their testimony, go right back down to the main service, and probably had almost the entire church over the course of how many years we did that. And I can remember lots of them, and I can just tell how impactful they were. Number one, you just hear about God and how they were saved, and you can, it just unifies the church. I mean, sometimes the folks would get up there and they'd share things as we've had, and may that you didn't know about. And it really encourages you. I can think of Jackie's grandpa, Gramps, Jerry. He was in his 80s. I think I shocked him that I asked him. All right. He wasn't a speaker. I said, would you share? He said, I don't know if I can go up the stairs. I said, well, we'll do it in the old auditorium. And I mean, he probably went 30 seconds and cried like a baby. All right. Just because he couldn't believe it. I remember Dennis. Dennis was a single man. He was in his 60s. Had a little bit of probably we'd call a little bit of slowness in the brain there. And I remember asking him, and he didn't think he could do it. And boy, he did it. And he did about 1 minute. He was crying like a baby. All right. Just in front of those teens, just telling how he got saved. And thrilled that he could do that. You know, sometimes we think we can't do a whole lot. I can think of Brother Jackson and Mrs. Jackson, who are now retired and serving with Amazing Grace Missions. And he was just a college student at University of North Carolina. Exactly, a college student on campus. Somebody invited him to some Bible study. He's like, I guess I'll go. All right. He went, and he couldn't believe how the people had joy, something he never had. And I just remember how it transformed his life. I can remember Mel Chapman, who his dad used to beat him. He had an awful upbringing and just was full of anger and bitterness. God saved him. God called him to preach. He went to Tabernacle Baptist down in Greenville, became a missionary in Nova Scotia, still serving the Lord. He's probably 85 to 90 there at Temple. All right. Has taught adult Sunday school class for 40 plus years, ran the rescue mission, and just said, I'm just going to do whatever God. I can think of many testimonies, men and women, that I heard over the years at the church we were at, and they encouraged me, they challenged me. I remember Brother Brewer got saved, someone knocked on his door, brought him as a bus kid, just a bus kid. Want to come to church? All right. His parents never came to church, they brought him on a bus, and he got saved, and ran the kids ministry there for many years. All right. You know what? God still saves souls, and it's the gospel message, it's the Lord Jesus Christ, but the stories may all be a little bit different. And so we're thrilled tonight to be able to have. So Miss Jackie, why don't you come, and when she's done, we'll invite Joan to come up after her.
Hello. Pastor asked me to give my testimony, so here it goes. I was born in Columbus, Ohio, and I was named after Jackie Kennedy. I am the oldest of nine. I have five brothers and three sisters. I was raised in an unsaved home where my father was very abusive, both emotionally and physically. One of my brothers has autism, and I was born with a birth defect in my feet, where my Achilles tendons were too short. So we weren't abused as much as the others. I couldn't walk flat, but only on my tiptoes. I had surgery when I was 2 years old to lengthen my tendons so I could walk normal. My mom would tell me how the doctors never saw anything like that, and they would parade me around for all the doctors and the surgeons to see me walk. I healed from the surgery and was a very active child. I was the cartwheel queen. I do remember when I was 3 years old, going for a ride in my dad's red car. It was a convertible with white interior. I remember how I didn't want to go to kindergarten because I wanted to stay home and watch Captain Kangaroo. I went to a public school until I graduated from high school. There was a day when I was 9 years old that I had severe pain on the tops of my feet, and I remember crawling on my hands and feet to my mom because I couldn't stand up and walk on my own. I was hospitalized and stayed there for 1 week. I love salad with French dressing. I don't actually know what caused that, but I was back at the cartwheels once I recovered. I know my dad loved us, and he had a problem with abuse and abusing us because his dad, my grandpa, abused him as a kid. He was in the war. He fought in World War II, and I think the war made him mean. He wasn't saved, but he made my dad go to church. My grandma was good to me. There was a lot of stress and fighting in my entire family, on my dad's side and at home. As I grew up and was in junior high and high school, I was active in chorus and then choir and ensemble. I loved to sing, and I sang a lot to find comfort in my heart from the abuse at home. I was searching for a way out. I remember moving frequently as a kid, and when my mom would have a meeting on our front porch with her friend across the street who was a Jehovah's Witness. That's when I heard about God. That's when I first heard about him. I remember going to music lessons with other kids in the neighborhood. And I also remember going to a food pantry with my mom to a Catholic church and they tried to put me in the choir robe to sing in the choir, and I said no, and I ran out the door. We moved one last time to a neighborhood that was close to a Baptist church. They had a church bus ministry, and the bus went past our house every Sunday. My dad made us ride it and go to church, just like his dad made him when he was little, but my parents never came. My brothers and sisters stopped coming because they were very disruptive and didn't like being told about it. I decided to keep going. I liked riding the church bus, and the driver's name was George. While attending church for a while, I became more involved and went to the Awana program on Sunday nights. There was a very kind family who took me under their wing and adopted me as their own. They invited me over for supper one night in the fall, and they shared the gospel with me by showing me a tract with a picture of Jesus on the cross. I still have it. I remember weeping, and that next Sunday morning, my Sunday school teacher led me to the Lord. I was saved that day at the age of 14 on a November in 1979. I was baptized a little while after. I started going on Saturday bus visitation with George, and he told me that if I ever wanted to get a word in, I have to open my mouth and talk, for I was very quiet and shy. I loved going door to door and handing out tracts to invite them to church and to ride the church bus. I was happy when they came. I became active in my youth group and became an Awana leader where I worked with, they were called the Chums, with the girls. Awana is approved workmen that are not ashamed. So that we have memorized scripture, play games, have a snack, sing, and have a Bible lesson. And we would earn awards for our shirts. I joined the adult choir and my youth group choir. We went to New Bedford, Massachusetts to have backyard Bible clubs there. And it was July 4th, and we got to watch fireworks over the ocean and collect seashells on the beach. Every June, my youth group went to Teen Leadership Conference at Baptist Bible College here in Clark Summit. I was a counselor my last summer of high school, and it was then that the Lord was calling me to go to college there. I met Art there my freshman year, and he sat behind me in our 7 o'clock a.m. study skills class, and he poked me during class and annoyed me every day. He asked me to go with him to a school social, and I said no. I had finals and a term paper to write, and he was devastated, and this guy from Knox and PA almost gave up on me. It was 2 years later that he came back just to ask me to a school banquet. I said yes. His sister-in-law, who went to college there as well, talked him into trying again. He went to a Baptist church in Mahoopany and asked me to the Christmas banquet there. I remember riding with him and his brother, Herb, who is a pastor now, and his wife, Becky. She's the one who went to college there. He drove on Sugar Hollow Road, which is very windy, and would take the corner sharp on purpose so we would bump shoulders. Then Art sang O Holy Night, and he had the most beautiful voice I ever heard. We started dating, and I loved his heart, and I loved his love and his heart for God. It was a stormy day in April, and he gave me a bouquet of roses and told me to look inside of them. There was a diamond ring, and he proposed to me that day. After I said yes, God put a rainbow in the sky after the storm. We were married on August 15th, 1987. For 35 years. He gave us 3 girls and 1 in heaven who died on our 8th anniversary. Then God led us to IBC. And to make a long story short, we are a household of faith. We sang to each other at our wedding of faith. And where we work at school is our mission field. And it was here that Art found Pastor Boyer through our pastor search. He was chairman of the deacon board, and because he was sick and disabled, he had a lot of time to talk on the phone. He talked on the phone a lot. And I remember him working with Dave at the printing company where they witnessed to many of the men there. And he couldn't find anybody else. We ran out of names. And I remember Pastor Cremard telling Art that Out in Beale, who's the president of Ambassador, brought up a name of this man named Pastor Boyer. He became ill after that, after we voted him in, and now he's in heaven with our little baby. It'll be 2 years this August 29th that he passed. And my dad, he died in 2004. I don't know if he was saved or not because I couldn't be there to be with him. I forgave him for abusing us, and I'm very thankful that he made me ride the church bus.
I didn't really give him a long history of things and God's blessing, although he has blessed me much. I just, it's a testimony of my salvation. I was raised in a Catholic home and was taught that the way to get to heaven was to do good works. So I tried to be a good kid, and I was a good kid. I didn't get into drugs, I wasn't doing smoking, drinking, went to church, memorized my catechism, read the rosary, tried to be kind to people. However, I still wasn't confident that all those works were good enough to get me to heaven. I still just had that thing inside. Then in my high school years, I met a boy who witnessed to me and told me that the way to get to heaven was to believe in Jesus and that only. Well, as a Catholic, I did believe in Jesus. So what if I was also doing good works? However, I was still looking for answers to many of the questions I had about faith and about God. So I bought a Bible, and I began to attend Ebenezer Baptist Church. Then in the fall of 1977, Ebenezer started the Ebenezer Bible Institute, and I enrolled. It was there that I truly understood what salvation was all about. We were taught there the 7-point plan of salvation. Still have it in my Bible, Pastor. And Pastor Cremart was one of the instructors there. We were to write it in our Bible and memorize it and the verses for each point. Well, I already knew I was a sinner, so that's 1 point. I knew that the sin, because of my sin, I couldn't enter into heaven. In other words, that sin couldn't enter in heaven. I already knew that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. But what I needed to know was to make that personal. I needed to believe that Jesus Christ died for me, for my sins. And I needed to put my trust in Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, which I was depending on, lest any man should boast. So it was during that time that I put my faith in Jesus Christ and trusted him as my Lord and Savior. About a month later, in January of 1978, I was baptized by immersion by Pastor Ephraim Hettinger. Since that time, God has never left me, although several loved ones have left me. My Heavenly Father has not, nor ever will leave me. He's been there holding my hand through several difficult times in my life. And with each trial, I grow closer to God. He's my rock.
Listen to the people. Listen to my prayer. Heal this selfish servant from my worldly care. Help me spread the message that the world may see Jesus' love in me. Now to every creature. Proclaimer be. Spirit working in my heart. I see my transgression, cleanse thou every part. Where I've been so blinded by my vanity, grant me heavenly vision to win the lost to thee. O thou holy Father, listen to my prayer. Heal this selfish servant from my worldly care. Help me spread the message that the world may see Jesus' love in me. Now to every creature
Proclaimer be. Amen. Thank you, ladies singing and ladies at the piano. Thank you, ladies that gave your testimonies, as well as the ladies in the orchestra. All right. And no one has done more for women than the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel. And if you've never understood that, whether the book of Acts or going through biographies, you will see what the difference the gospel makes for all of us, but women especially. Little Tykes for Truth are dismissed at this time. I think we've had several here tonight. We'll let them slip on out as they are going to be exposed to the truth of the Word of God, and glad that they're here tonight. If you're not a reader of biographies or church history or what's going on, let me encourage you. We may not see that as much in America, since we're so enlightened here, and the difference the gospel has made for ladies, countries like India, countries of Africa, Islamic countries, things like that. What a huge difference the gospel makes all around the world, but especially in those parts where a woman, for some, is just a simple, much as a slave or a piece of meat. And what a difference. I would encourage you to be a reader, not just of the Word of God, but also of good biographies and stories. Well, tonight, though everybody that testimonies and the music, they weren't aware of it, we are going to be in Romans 10 tonight. We're going to take a one-week break from the book of Ruth, and we are currently on our last chapter in the book of Ruth, but we're going to postpone that till next Sunday night. So Romans 10, if you would turn there tonight with me, and I appreciate so much the music, both the hymns, the offertory, as well as the message and song, as well as the testimonies. And by the way, if the Lord uses a testimony, whether ones that have been given previously tonight, let the ladies know that. Let the couples know that. Let them know that. Encourage them in the Lord. And just say thank you. You know, you have to conquer some fear usually to give a testimony. All right? The vast majority of people are not public speakers. To get up here, oh no, elevated, looking at me, knees knocking, you know. There's a few, but most of us are not going to do that naturally. So you conquer some fear with the Lord's help, but you're sharing your testimony primarily among brethren. All right, that's a good first step to conquer that, because when you go out and share your testimony of the gospel with others, many times they're lost. And one good way to overcome that hurdle is get used to sharing your testimony with the brethren, and then simply say, Lord, could you let me share that with someone else this week? Be careful now. All right. Lord, I'd really like to share that testimony with someone else. And that's all witnessing is at its basic format, just sharing with others who Christ is and what he's done for you. Who Christ is and what he's done for you. Who Christ is and what he's done for you. If you have to say, hey, lunchtime, coworker, how you doing there? Hey, do you mind if I just share with you just the greatest thing that ever happened to me? Now, they might think you're going to talk about your wedding or your children or your team won the Super Bowl, all right? But no, you said, let me just share you a little bit about, they might not even know what the word testimony means. And just simply share that. And you know what, the Lord will use that and take that for his honor and glory. Well, we're in Romans 10 tonight. Romans 10, the Lord just impressed my heart here to sort of continue a little bit of the theme we looked at this morning, Sunday morning. And So Romans 10, we're going to read a little bit here, make it practical again, and where we do have a little bit of a fellowship there. And if you came tonight and didn't know about it, would you stay? Just stay for a little bit, fellowship, encourage one another in the Lord, and don't have to stay long if you have prior commitments or need to get somewhere. Still not quite to the point where you got to slip home yet because the kids got to get ready for school. Well, that's coming soon, all right? So you got a little bit of time here stored and maybe still to have a little longer nights on the weekends, all right? Romans 10, this morning's message, obviously the Lord directed me using Haggai, but application on who will reach Duryea for Christ. Who will reach Duryea for Christ? If not now, when? If not us, who? And if not you, why? I hope that God used that to challenge your heart as he did mine. Tonight, I'd just like to sort of part two, reaching Duryea with the gospel. Reaching Duryea with the gospel. That doesn't mean that Duryea has never been reached with the gospel. That doesn't mean that IBC has not done it in the past. That has nothing to do with that. That has nothing to do with that. It doesn't have anything to do with the fact that you may be a great soul winner. We're at 2024. We're looking at it right now. We want to reach Duryea with the gospel. And obviously, we don't want to be content with just Duryea. We talked about that. Your neighborhood, your place of work, your mission field, as you heard, you've got different mission fields. Make them the mission field. But for our church, when we look at our church and our church family and our church as a corporate body here, as a New Testament church planted right here, our candlestick is in Duryea. All right? Then we certainly, as a goal there, should be wanting to reach our town with the gospel. Romans 10. And by the way, that should be normal. I mean, if we send out missionaries and a missionary says we're going to this city in Indonesia, well, they're going to try to reach that city with the gospel. If we're getting a missionary and they say, oh, I'm going to Botswana, Summer Scroggs, or we're going over to Brazil, or we're going to be based in this part, what are they doing? They're doing the same thing we're doing. It's just in a different part of the world. They're wanting to either plant a church, or they're going to work with an existing church, and they're going to preach the gospel and reach their village, their community, their city, see folks saved, baptized, taught, discipled, part of the church, serve, minister, send out others, establish more churches. I mean, that is God's plan. That hasn't changed, all right? That's what it's all about. And so missionaries maybe do it on foreign fields, and it may look a little more glamorous. It may look a little more neat when we watch videos or think, I'd like to go over there, it's pretty awesome. But it's no different than right here, all right? If you think it's easier to go to India and go around and win people to Christ, go ahead and do it, all right? We have a missionary there, his name's G.S. Nair. Do you think he wants to reach people with the gospel? Is he? He's a, what, that guy's, look at what he's doing. I think he believes that. I mean, he believes it with all his heart. Now, India's a big place, and he's not going to reach all of India. That's why there's other missionaries and other ministries spread throughout that giant country. But he's going to do everything he can do by sending out evangelist teams and colleges and Bible institutes to do everything he can. And that's what he's about. Then that's the same thing we're doing. We're just right here in Duryea, all right? And there's challenges no matter where you go. What about the Apostle Paul? We're studying his life and ministry in adult Sunday school class, working our way through the book of Acts. Wow. Seeing what God can do with one person, three people, 10 people, whatever, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And here you have Paul's heart. Now we know this is the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This is God breathed. This is God speaking. But in Romans chapter 10, how about in verse 1 when I read it, how about when I read Israel, you just say in your mind, Duryea. Now I know that not everybody here lives in Duryea. I made that point this morning. But how about you just in your mind put Duryea there where he says Israel. Romans 10, let's read verses 1 through 5. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Does it get any clearer than that? Paul, what's your passion? Paul, what's your burden? Paul, what's your heart's desire? Oh, that my people, Israel, would be saved. There you go. That's what you got. All right. Hopefully you and I can say my heart's desire and prayer to God for Duryea is that they might be saved. Now, Paul goes on. And by the way, this you're going to say, wow, this sounds just like our little town. What the Jewish people were holding on to is not much different than what's going on in this town and in many towns, based on some of the testimonies we've even heard. What was going on with the Jews? Verse 2, Paul says, I bear them record, who's them? Israel, the Jews, that they have a zeal of God. but not according to knowledge. Not according to the truth of the Word of God. They have a great zeal and a passion for God or religion, but it's not based on the Scripture of true knowledge. Verse 3, well, what were the Jews doing? What are they doing today? I won't mention other groups of people and denominations. You can put it in there. Does it sound familiar? For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness. They're going to establish their own standards, their own rules. This is how you get to God. This is how you get to heaven. This is what you do. Being ignorant or blinded from the truth of God's righteousness, they try to establish their own righteousness. Verse 3, they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They've not submitted themselves to the truth of the Word of God that we heard in the testimonies. For by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourselves or your little system. It's not of you. Not of works of righteousness which we have done. But according to His mercy, they've not submitted. So what was He saying about the Jews? I go to the synagogues, I go to the places, and boy, they're resisting it. They have a great zeal and a passion. Think about it. Now, not every Jew, we understand that, but they were zealous, many of them, in the things of God. I mean, to the feasts and the Sabbath and the offerings. Even Paul said, that was me when I was Saul. I persecuted them. I thought I was zealous for God. I thought I was pleasing Him, and I thought that I was right. I mean, I was taking people out. I was zealous. But I was wrong. It wasn't according to the Word of God's standard. I established my own system. Verse number 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Verse 5, for Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them, and no one can be saved by the works of the law. I'm not going to read the whole chapter there, but hopefully you understand this chapter. Paul's saying, this is my heart's desire. I want to ask you, what's your heart's desire? Now, there's nothing wrong if you say, my heart's desire is that my family would be saved. Absolutely. I hope that's your heart's desire. My family would be saved. My children, my grandchildren, my nephews and nieces, aunts and uncles, they would be saved. We should also have that heart's desire for our community where our church is at. I trust that we do. Let's go down a little bit farther in the chapter. We'll pick up our verses of the month right here, verse 12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. Then we have that great promise that everybody can probably quote. Will you say it with me, verse 13? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord
shall be saved.
Wow, you say, that is awesome. Okay, well, let's keep reading though, right? Because it's built one upon another. You say, that is inglorious. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then we have a series of questions, right? Verse 14, how then shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? Or how shall they hear without a preacher, without a proclaimer? Verse 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We believe, everybody in this room, I believe, believes verse 13. Whosoever shall call, that's everybody. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord in faith and repentance based on the Scriptures shall be saved. But we have a series. Now, wait a minute. How are they going to call on Him if they haven't believed that? How are they going to believe they ever heard? How are they going to hear unless someone tells them? How's someone going to tell them? Paraphrasing, until they go. And that's why it says how beautiful. Because you know what? There's a simple truth about your feet. Your body goes where your feet go. Whoa, I didn't even tell my body where to go. It's going where I'm going. How beautiful are the feet. You got to walk sometimes. So maybe it's a coworker. I realize you can share the gospel by text message, email, by letter. I think we understand that there, all right? The Bible is sharing. Now, perhaps after this morning's message, not all of you maybe were able to be here. Perhaps you work. Perhaps you're not able to be here. Maybe you declared privately in your heart to the Lord. Maybe God worked in your heart. Maybe you said, yes, now is the time. Yes, Duryea is the place. Yes, IBC is the church. Yes, I want to be a willing vessel. Yes, Lord, I want to help. Maybe God stirred your heart, but now we get to the rubber meets the road. But how? Not enough just to have the stirring. And just to have maybe the tears or the burden. What do I do now, Lord? I'm willing, I'm ready, and I just don't know what you want to do. Many of you know this famous quote. You can quote it when I start it. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. Many of you have heard that. It's a very famous quote by William Carey. Expect great things from God. You know, that was part of his, not his pamphlet he wrote, but based on his pamphlet of trying to get the churches in Great Britain, England especially, who had stopped trying to reach the lost, specifically in foreign missions. And that quote has to do with the gospel. You and I need to expect great things from him, but we need to attempt great things for him. Whoa! And he was using that to try, and he did stir up the people. And it wasn't long after that they started a missionary society there in London. And they sent missionaries, and he was one of them. And the gospel began to really flourish there, as you know, during those 1800s, some of the heydays of great missions. You say, well, what am I going to do? I do want to reach. Boy, the song the lady sang that tie in with missions, be a proclaimer. God, I need to do more. Just a couple simple points tonight, very practical, Lord laid in my heart. Number one, you're willing to be, be available. You've heard it said, right? It's not in the Bible, but the greatest ability is availability. Now, there's different people say different things, but the point of that is this. You can have all the talent, money, and things in the world, but if you're not available, it's not going to happen. The greatest ability is availability. Lord, I'm available. I'm here. You can use me. I'm a vessel. Be available. What did Isaiah say? Here am I, Lord. Send me. Here am I. You and I have got to be available if we want to be involved in any form of gospel work. Be available. Colossians 3 talks about setting our affection on things above. Set is a matter of the will. God says for his people, you and I need to be heavenly minded. The spiritual should always triumph anything else. We need to be, think about it. Lay up treasures in heaven. Set your affections on things above. Be thinking about eternity. This world is very short. We have all of eternity, as the old saying says, to enjoy the Lord and all that he gives us. Be willing to go all out for God. Be available. Can I say that's one of the main things? Hey, be available. What do you mean be available means? Someone comes up and says, hey, could you do this? Be available. That should be a decision you've already made to the Lord. Lord, I'm going to be available. If you give me opportunities, I don't have to pray about it. I've already prayed and said, God, I'm going to be available. And so, Lord, if I pray and say, Lord, bring opportunities my way, and then all of a sudden you're walking out of church tonight, Pastor Kremer puts his arm around you, you're like, uh-oh. He says, hey, how about I need you to share a Bible challenge. Okay. I just prayed that. Or my wife comes up to you. Oh, no, she looks like she's holding a teaching thing. Run! All right. I need you to. Lord, I'm going to be available. You got the rubber meets the road sometimes. You can't say I'm going to trust God. He's the Lord of hosts. And then I say no to everything. That's living by sight, not faith. Someone says, would you pray about starting a ministry? Be available. Be willing. That's one of the key ways to be involved for the Lord. Be available. Value the spiritual. Number two, be involved. What do you mean be involved? You can be available and not evolved. Involved, not evolved. You can be available. And I think of that sometimes as coaching. I can remember being both a player on a team, I'm thinking basketball, as well as a coach. Sometimes you got your starters out there, and then here's the bench. You got some guys on the team. They may be junior hires. They may just be out because their buddy's out. They don't want it. They get out of homework. They get away games. They go out to eat fast food. A lot of reasons people play sports, all right? Hang out with the ball teams, see the cheerleaders. They're not always into the games necessarily. They don't even care half the time, all right? But sometimes the coach says, hey, Johnny, get in the game. And me, I don't want to go to the game. I'm scared. What are you talking about? We need you. All right? Well, now, you might be on the team and on the bench. You might say you're available, but not always ready to go. All right? Some kids get really scared. Me? Going in right now? Oh, coach. I thought you're on the team. What are you on the team for? Well, I'm just on the team. Not everybody's always on the team with the same goals. Be available, but be involved. Involved means I'm ready to go. Coach, I'm tired. Come on, put me in there. All right? God's looking for folks available, but second, folks that are involved. Now, listen, you may be new to the church. You may be a new believer. You may be a little weak, a little timid. You may not know much about using gifts or ministry. That's fine. You need to be taught in some things. But our goal, I would say this, my goal as a pastor is for every single person who regularly and faithfully attends this church to be involved in at least two ministries. I'm going to call them inside and outside ministries. Huh? Inside and out. There's, you know, ministry means service. But there's several types of ministries. A lot of the inside ministries are for believers. Edification, the choir ministry. Now, folks, a person could hear a choir song and trust the Lord. Absolutely. But the music ministry is primarily edification for believers. That really encouraged me. That really challenged me in the Lord. Now, obviously, we have cantatas and things that may have a focus of the gospel, but you're involved. Those are great ministries. That's awesome. You're involved in those kind of things, all right? Playing the piano, doing special music, offertory. Many of that is more of edification for the believer. Build up God's people, those kind of things. You may be involved in different ministries in the church. Many of those are, not all, many of those are more edification ministries. That's great. All right? But I want to encourage folks to also be involved in what I would call an outside ministry, meaning God's people going outside the walls of the church, having a ministry that's more gospel-centered, all right? Doesn't mean we don't share the gospel in our classes and in teaching and things like that and VBS and things like that, but be involved. Now, it's true that everybody can do something. The question is everybody doing something? And that's always the question. That comes to commitment. I want to be. That's where the old provincial thing of go to the pastor and say, Pastor, is there anything you need me to do? Whoa. And the pastor says, are you sure you mean that? All right. You promise? Yes. All right. And then, whoa. Are there any conditions on that? Pastor, I'm looking for a ministry to get involved in. Pastor, I'm wide open. Is there anything that needs done around here? You say, whoa, yeah, lots of things go through the minds. Looking for ministries. All right? But I'm talking about service. Are you involved in anything inside the church, more for edification, using spiritual gifts, which are primarily for edification of God's people, using those gifts? Hey, look, if you have a gift of teaching, you ought to be teaching. And our teacher, we ought to be if God's given you that talent, that ability, you ought to be doing that. That's what we need you for. Absolutely. All right? Praise the Lord for those that maybe are doing it. Maybe it's not your perfect niche, but you say, I'm available. And God's given you a gift. Use those gifts. But what about ministries that are more outward? I'm talking about making visits. You say, I want to be involved in visitation ministry. I'm just going to go and make visits throughout the week. Pastor Borum, I got two retired ladies or husband and wife or whatever. Who can we visit? Who can we follow up on? We'll just make visits. And go and talk to folks, share the gospel. That's a ministry more of outside the walls. Obviously, our soul winning, knocking on doors, John and Romans, crossing towers, all right? The Duryea Christmas stroll. He said, boy, I want to get involved in that. I don't even know what you're talking about. Hey, it's right up and down Main Street. Our church occupies a lot of that. We don't even have to go out to them. They come. They walk up and down. We're right here. We give out cookies and popcorn, but our number one focus should be the gospel, sharing the gospel, getting people engaged with that, giving them literature, asking them specifically. We have community days. I hope you've noticed that. We have two community days a year. What's my burden on doing that? Let me tell you my burden on doing that is I want those, they ought to be some of the biggest days of the year for the church to be involved. Man, our church is out in force. We're doing community cleanup. We're doing some inside jobs around the church. Maybe we set up a grill out there. We're doing hot dogs and hamburgers for anybody in Duryea wants to get it. And when they come, we're sharing the gospel. They want to walk through the church, we'll give them a tour. We're going to go knock on doors. That ought to be a big day. It's IBC's in this community. We love this community. We're going to do some things for this community. We're going to get out there and do things. Now, we've had about four or five. It's okay. We're not worried about numbers. They've been very small attended. I know things come up. All right? But community days, that's the purpose of that. You might say, that's my ministry. I'm just going to take that and run with it. Maybe Pastor Board needs a point person. I'll just initiate that, get that thing going. That'll be my ministry. See what we can do with that. Lots of ministries that could be done if we have the people. All right, to do those. Number one, be available. Number two, be involved. Number three, you've got to be burdened. And a lot of times we talk about a burden, it seems mysterious. We said, well, how do you get a burden? Well, that's a good question, all right? You got your one group that says, well, you got to wait for the burden. Lord, give me a burden. You can sit around praying, oh, God, burden my heart. Or you go get a burden. Go get a burden. You say, what do you mean go get a burden, all right? Get out and go. Lamentations 3:51, mine eye affecteth mine heart. You know one of the number one ways that people get called to mission field? Mission conferences, mission biographies, and mission trips. What? You go on a mission trip? You go on the mission trip? Boy, you're out there, you're like, whoa, I didn't realize the need was so great. God really burdened my heart. I come back home now. I just can't get out of my heart and mind. God's really impressing upon me. Wow, I got, whoa. I mean, why? Their eye affected their heart. You come to missions conference, you see things, you see the burden, you see the needs. Many times, that's where the burden comes from. Is that not biblical? Flip over it to your left there, Matthew chapter 9. You're in Romans. Go backwards a little bit to Matthew chapter number 9. Be available, be involved, be burdened. You say, well, I don't know, I got to sit around waiting for a burden. No, you don't. You go out and do it. You go get a burden. You'll get a burden, believe me, all right? God will burden your heart if you're really in and out the Master's business. Matthew chapter 9, we alluded to this in Sunday school this morning. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 35 and 36 and so forth. Beginning of Jesus' ministry. He's busy. Verse 35, Matthew 9, Jesus went about all the cities and villages. Notice, he went out. What was he doing? His ministry right there, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease. Verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they were fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then he said unto his disciples, notice, the harvest that I'm seeing truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And by the way, this is biblical. Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Maybe you say, God, I'm going to start praying that we send five young people, five families out of IBC. God, specifically call them to the mission field. Maybe that would scare you. Maybe you don't want to pray that. God, call five men, young men, married men, older men to preach. Maybe you're scared to pray that. All right. Maybe you'd pray for others, but not say, Lord, I'm available. Are we scared to pray that? Are we not commanded to do that? I believe we are. But the Lord saw the multitudes. Flip backwards to Acts. Acts chapter 17. You were in Sunday school this morning. You'll recognize this passage. Acts 17. Paul at Athens. The Apostle Paul. Maybe he gets off the boat. We're not sure how he traveled there. He gets on shore at Athens, one of the most famous cities in the world. A philosophy center of the world. Arts. Religion. What does the Bible say? Acts 17, verse 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. He saw it. He was so burdened. We said this morning, he wasn't there as a tourist. He wasn't interested in all the attractions. He wasn't taking pictures of the architecture and the temples and the places where the philosophers were. He saw it as a Bible-believing Christian with a burden. A man who said, had already, as we saw later in Romans, that his heart's desire was for Israel. This wasn't even Israel. The lost pagans. He was stirred in his heart and he shared Jesus Christ. Let me tell you where you get a burden. You get out there. That's how you get a burden. You say, I'm going to start driving that bus. I'm just going to go. Me myself. I got a partner. Two people. We'll start going around. Somebody's like, passport. Where are we going to go? Oh, we'll send. I knew where to send. I can tell you where to send you. We'll start knocking doors. See all these kids running around. Whoa. These kids are running around. There's no one even doing anything. There's a burden. Whoa. I mean, who's watching all these people? Look at these kids everywhere. Hey, oh, my goodness, God. We don't have to even go far. They're right there. Go out for about a couple hours. You don't have to go for a couple hours. Knock on doors. See what it's like around here. We're like, wow, Lord, the people are hard. I can't believe that they believe that. Lord, they don't want to hear. Lord, what, they believe it in their own religious system. Go on a mission trip. Oh, my goodness, wow. I can't believe it. The needs are great. I never saw anything like this. Oh, God, when we saw, my eye affects my heart. Not going to get a whole lot of burden, though, and just come in church. Oh, you will some. Not like going out among the people. Come to Cross and Tower. Just come the next time and have it. Just sit and observe. Just one little ministry, many would say just dinky. Just a little, five people come? Yeah, out of 100. Wow, talk to them. Do they know the Lord? Are they trusting? You know, some do. Oh God, what can we do? How do we get these 100 people? How can we get them over? What can we do to show them the love of the Lord? Oh man, Lord, I want to do, you go to a nursing home, go to a place, say, I wonder if we can get in that little place. You get your burden. Get out there. God impresses upon your heart. Think of Adoniram Judson, huh? He said, I will not leave Burma until the cross is planted here forever. I will not leave Burma. Remember, 7 years before one convert. 7 years. Think it's hard and dreary? About Burma. How about India? How have God called you right now to Korea? Papua New Guinea. You think it's easy? How about a Muslim country? You think it's easy? You think it's going to be easy over those places? All right? You think they're just going to just walk up, give them Romans Road? Boom. No, it's not. It's a challenge. We have that same God we have and the same gospel, though. Be available. Be involved. Be burdened. Number four, and we're done. Be proactive. Proactive. A lot of you use this with your kids. Come on, be proactive, not reactive. Proactive. See what's coming. Take the initiative there. The idea there is a little bit of initiative. Lord, what can I do? Pastor, what can I do? Deacon, deaconess, what needs done? Look for a need. Seek to reach it. Not always have people have to come to you. Have that vision. Have that goal. See what needs done. I'm going to do it. Boy, I wonder if we've ever thought about this. I wonder who could do this. And the Lord says, you can do it. Me. Right? Like Moses. Woo! God said, Moses is going to deliver my people. Woo-hoo! You're going to do it. What? Send it to somebody else. I can't do that. Right? Same excuses I'll use and you'll use. I can't do that. I'm too old. I can't speak. I stutter. My health. Who made your mouth? I'm with you. Boom, 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 right? Oh, my goodness. All right? Be proactive. Just continue to pray that prayer. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, what would you have me to do? Boy, there's lots of ministries. These are ministries. I'm sure the church has had these in the past. We could have them again. My initiative, I'm the pastor. I'm the shepherd. I'm supposed to walk by faith. I'm supposed to stir the people. I'm supposed to challenge you, lead by example. I can give out lots of ministries. I can't run them all. If I run them all, I'm not going to be devoted to the word and the prayer like I ought to be. But we've got enough people to do these. And the goal is not for everybody to be involved in everything. You don't have to do 25 things. It's okay. You don't have to come to every single thing. But maybe you say, God, I'd like a ministry. No, you say, I already got one. I'm teaching a class. That's great. I'm in the music. That's awesome. Those are important. All right. But what about another ministry that's more gospel oriented? Doesn't mean it's every week. It could be once a month. Crossing Towers every 3 weeks. And we don't need 25 people coming to Crossing Tower. A minister like that, you just need 3 to 4 people that are devoted and say, count on me. That's our ministry for the Lord. We're going to be there. We're going to pray. We're going to serve. We're going to teach, preach, sing. That's our ministry. It's not something everybody has to do that. That's okay. That's just one ministry. And I say, that's the one God has for me. I'm going to be locked in on that one. Praise God. Doesn't mean I won't do other things in the church, but that's a ministry. What about a deaf ministry? You say, well, I don't know. I never do anything. I don't either. Any deaf in town? Could we have a deaf ministry? Oh, what about, are there any blind people? I'm just throwing things out there. How do you reach the blind? I don't know. How about the handicapped? I didn't say we have to bring everybody to church. I'm just saying, well, how do you reach them? Jail, prison. I know there's not a jail, prison currently in Duryea, and that's not necessarily in Duryea, but jails and prison. You say, well, I don't know. I have to go through a bunch of stuff. You might have to. It might take you a year if they even get approved. You might have to do a whole bunch of stuff. But you could do it. And you would need more. One person, two people do that. Jail, prison ministry, possibly. That may not be all the time. VFW and American Legion. I threw those out in January. Can you get in? I don't know. Somebody could try. Figure it out. Make some phone calls. Stop by. Get some connections. Do some research. Pray. I mean, those are ministries. Possibilities. Doesn't mean we can do them all. How about reaching? Say, God's burdened my heart to reach the first responders in Duryea. Got two fire companies and a police department there. Wonder what I can do. I'll make that my ministry. Children in the area, teens, young adults, families, maybe bereavement ministry. I'm going to just watch the obituaries. But in Duryea, it's a ministry. I'm going to take it on. I mean, it's called proactive. It's called, Lord, what would you have me to do? Maybe the Lord pricks my heart. Maybe I'm the first one to ever do it. Maybe they've done it in the past. A nursing home, we've talked about that one. Trying to get in, you know, just visiting Dolly. I go into this place, like, wow, I don't know. What if you can get in Oak Ridge? What if we could get in Wesley Village? What if we could do once a month? What if we could do once every 2 weeks? What if we could get in those places? Well, I don't know. Someone would have to start knocking, go and visit and talk to people. So I don't know. Well, they let people in. You let the Catholics in. Why can't we get in then? All right. You let the Methodists in. Well, why can't we get in? Could we do that one? Well, you have to have people committed, though. You got to have some initiative. You got to have some gumption. You got to have a no quit. You got to be like a fisherman. You don't just quit. Who are a lot of the disciples? Fishermen. I want to make you fishers of men. Not going to quit and get discouraged. You got to stick with it sometimes. All right? You got to be faithful. You got to be accountable. Maybe say it's time to get that bus running a little bit here. All right? Wonder what we got to do. Now, there's a commitment to that. You know, it's not just picking up kids. You might have to go around on a Saturday. You may have to make phone calls on a Sunday morning. You may have to recruit a few other people. You might have to get your own special class to teach them if they can be a little rough and other teachers aren't used to handling those kind of kids. Might have to know. You say, well, I don't know. I just throw them out there. More that you could think of, maybe I didn't do. Question is, who's going to reach him if we don't? That's the question. Who's going to reach him? Who's going to reach him? Maybe you say, God, I'm looking for a ministry. I don't know if you want me to do any of these things, but I'm willing. When Nehemiah heard about what the walls were like, he got a burden, didn't he? I don't think he initially thought he was going to be the one. He just prayed. He just began to pray. And at the end of a couple months, guess what? He was the guy. And when the king asked him, he was ready. You know what it means? Nehemiah hadn't just prayed. He was ready. Because when the king said, what's your request? He had it all down. He had done the preparation. Pastor Boyer, I said, oh, you want to do jail ministry? Great. You know, oh, I don't know. You're going to do it. No, you're going to do all that. Go over and meet him. Get in there. Talk to the people. Find out what you got to do. What are the rules? What are the regulations? How often can we get in? Are we able to have a Bible study without the preach? What can we do? You're going to have to do that, maybe. You might have to take the initiative. You might have to talk to Pastor Greenbart. I wonder if he knows any of these answers. They did it before. What can we do? And so that's what we're talking about here. I want to finish with this. I love what John Newton, Amazing Grace, you have a quote in your bulletin today from him. Unfortunately, this printed off very light, so I got to take my glasses off and see what it says here. But I like this quote. If two angels were to receive at the same moment a commission from God, one to go down and rule Earth's grandest empire, the other to go and sweep the streets of its meanest village, it would be a matter of entire indifference to each angel which service fell to his lot, the post of ruler or the post of scavenger. For the joy of the angels lies only in obedience to God's will. And with equal joy, they would lift the Lazarus in his rags to Abraham's bosom or be a chariot of fire to carry an Elijah home. Now maybe that was a little long for you and a little deep and I lost you. But if God commissioned two different angels to do his bidding, one seems a little more glamorous, one seems not so much, to the angels, there's no one would say, well, they're happy to obey the master. They'll do it with joy, whether it's one that seems insignificant, carry that old beggar to Abraham's bosom. Or who wants to drive the chariot to get alive? Oh, no matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They were given a commission. Yes, sir. We're going to do it. We're going to do it with joy. Every ministry matters. Some may seem more glamorous, but all that matters is have we been faithful? What would God perhaps have you to do? There are plenty of places around. Maybe it's going to take some faith, some gumption, some hard work, some prayer. Maybe there's open doors, but we at least need to be trying. I love, as we finish here, I love the spirit of David. Maybe we need to be like David. You know what? And you might spend 3 years trying to get into a ministry, and you never are able to get in, but you laid the groundwork for somebody else. That's okay, right? Who gets the glory? God. Maybe you're not able to do it. I think of David. David wanted what? To build the temple with all of his heart. And God said, no. You're a bloody king. You've had a lot of blood on your hands. You're not going to do it. I will grant that request to your son. And what did David pout? Now, sometimes we might do that. I might do that. Didn't get what I wanted.
Somebody else does it. They get all the glory.
You read Chronicles, though, David, with all of his heart, because he was a man after God's own heart, poured himself into providing all the nails and the lumber and the cedar and the gold and the silver and the storehouses. And he took great delight in getting all of that ready. Never even one time going to even see it. And he said, son, I've provided all for you. God's provided all. Now go and build it. Wow, I want that same spirit. I want the same spirit. It doesn't matter who gets the glory. It doesn't matter who's in front of everybody doing the ministry. No one may even know that you go to Crossing Tower. No one may know that you even go to a nursing home. But it's supported and provided by the church, and we pray and we meet the needs and we send some of the money to help you, and you do it. And maybe you meet with two people for 5 years. Sharing the Bible study. And only, hey, fine. I'm going to stand before the master and say, Lord, I tried. I did my best. I believed what you said, and all that I had I did for your honor and glory, Lord. And the Lord says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's all I asked. That's all I asked. Will you be part of that? Has God been stirring your heart? Maybe he stirred it a long time ago. We had a lot of men, their hearts were stirred under Caleb Reed at the retreat. I remember it. Those stirring, those embers will die. You got to keep blowing them. Had some men come up to me, and life happens. I understand that. You might have had some preaching here, different people, Morris Gleiser, God, but it's been a while now. We've got to keep those things on fire for the Lord. We've got to kind of constantly expose those to the fresh spirit of the Holy Spirit. Those things will die quick. If God has been impressing upon your heart a ministry, start it, research it, try it out, get part. Be a helper. I don't know if I can do it. Continue to pray. Be active. Be involved. Say, Lord, I'm ready. I'm willing. If you used to do it years ago and you've let it die down, but God says, I haven't forgotten. I want to stir that back up. You might say, like Moses, God, I'm retired. that was back when I was 40. God says, you're 80. It's time. No, it's not time. God says, yes, it is. But I can't do it. And God says, exactly. I'll do it. And you think you're done. And God says, you're not done. I don't know who it may be, but I believe God's wanting to do a work here, and I'm thankful for all those involved. This is not preaching about those of you not doing anything. Many of you are doing lots of stuff. Maybe God has been working and stirring. Maybe there's some men God has really been calling you, young men, to preach. And evangelists, young ladies, to missions, full-time service. I have no idea. But will you be willing to say, God, I'm available. Let's pray. Father, I pray that every person here that names the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that's in your family would be willing to say, Lord, I am available. I'm available, Lord. Here am I. Here am I. Now, Lord may say, you're right where I want you. You're exactly where you want. I want you to be. Just continue serving me faithfully. The Lord may say, I would like you somewhere else. I've got a ministry for you. I've given you gifts in this area. I want you to take a step of faith. It's been on your heart. You know it. I've been wooing you. God, maybe there's some folks who used to do it years ago and they thought they're finished, and yet you've said, no, I want to start that back up. Lord, I know there's a lot of things we could do. We don't want to do it to brag or to say, look at all that we do as a church. We want to do it to obey your commands. Lord, to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. We want to start it right here in Duryea. Lord, may we be willing vessels. Prick hearts, call, woo, help us, Lord, encourage us in the Lord. May we never forget that you're with us. We can be strong and we can work and we need not fear. We want to see your power, Lord, I pray. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.